Oh my gosh, I'm on?
Yes.
All of a sudden I'm so nervous. Hi everybody, and I'm gonna say it again, I just can't help myself. Trick or treat, ha ha ha, and happy Halloween to all of you, even though it's tomorrow night. People here in Utah are actually way ahead of the rest of the country, so we're celebrating it tonight. No, that's not true, it's just a bad joke. So anyway, I would like to thank each and every one of you for being here, for taking this time out, for following what I can only assume is the urge of your soul to just spend time with like-souled brothers and sisters, people who are open to life and open to their own truth and open to the depths of inspiration within them. And I really hope to add to that inspiration by tonight's talk. And I want to especially thank, I've been meaning to do this for the last couple times, all those who are hosting people at your house, like Barbara from San Diego mentioned a little earlier that she had 8 people there, and Joanne from Marin County, and I know there are several others around the country who host, and you know, since I'm going to be talking to Eleanor tomorrow, I have to mention her too, who have people at her house. And I really want to thank you for joining with this. What some of you are doing, of course, is listening together and then spending some really sacred private time after, just being in your own inspired way with whatever this talk is about. And of course, this is both a talk and it's a time for us to share. It's not just my sharing. It's a time for whatever the inspiration of life is to come to all of us. So I want to invite all of us just to be in that sacred moment, that sacred space right now. And of course, I'm going to spend the next half hour or so just absolutely wowing you. No, that's not true. Or maybe it is true. With my own thoughts, perspectives, or the way the soul of life seems to want to speak to us through me. So as Donna mentioned, our topic today is life. Life perceived through the eyes of the soul. And I wanted us to start by visiting a question. A question that's really puzzled countless people throughout the millennia of our human existence. And now, you know, if this is a little too heady or too deep, I mean, be as superficial about this as you want to be. But here's the question, the one that's puzzled us. What is life? And what's it all about? Now, I know there are a few of you that are adding the word Alfie to that. What's it all about, Alfie? And I will spare you my trying to sing that, but in looking at that life, or that question, what is life? What's it all about? I want to get around ultimately to looking at life through the eyes of the soul. And so I want to invite you to take a journey with me in this hour, a journey into that mysterious phenomenon called life. And you might want to start by just asking yourself some questions, playing with these questions, like, what's my life all about? Or what's my view of life? As I look at life, what is that worldview? What is that perspective that I have? Not just about what it means, but really, what is it? And then maybe another question, what do I see, or what do I image, or what do I think when I look at life through the eyes of, for example, my conscious mind? Or then through the eyes of my heart? And then through the eyes of my soul? And of course, I would guess that the answer might change given the viewpoint of the moment. So allow whatever thoughts or images that emerge from these questions to just float around in your mind, float around in your heart, float around in your being, finding their own landing spots in your awareness, while we take the following journey through the fields of this compelling question, what is life? So I thought I'd start with just a very brief, almost superficial, and I apologize for the word, approach or walk through several perspectives of life, and then move around to the perspective of the soul. And for example, if we were to look at life through the eyes of some of our Aboriginal or Native peoples, we might see life as a complex, interactive series of relationships, relationships between creator and man, between nature and animals, between Mother Earth and humans, between the earthly elements and the sky or the planet and the universe. We might even say that the meaning of life that these Aboriginal people have is to foster these relationships, where we teach and learn from each other, where we love and respect one another, where we touch and bless one another. Life is seen by these precious peoples as an invitation to live interdependently, to live in love and connectedness, or to live with a trust that such a cooperative approach will bring all species of life and all forms of life into a harmony, into a rhythm, into a mutual fulfillment. Well, let's look at it from another perspective. If we were to look at the nature of life through the eyes of modern science, especially with its quantum physics and mechanics orientation, we might see life as an unending display of universes and dimensions, all very alive and interdependent again, and centered around and powerfully influenced by that unmeasurable factor called the zero-point field, or the Akashic field of intelligence, or even cosmic intelligence. And what would be the meaning of life in this scientific perspective? Well, it seems to me that it would be to discover and immerse ourselves in these many worlds, in these many universes, in these many dimensions, thereby perhaps uncovering an even newer frontier of consciousness that just might hold more promise for yet unidentified human fulfillment. So we've played a little bit with the Aboriginal or Native perspective of life than the scientific. Let's take a brief foray into the phenomenon of life through the eyes of religion. Religion, of course, is a powerful, powerful theme in life. You know, there are like over a million Christians and over a million Muslims, and the vast, vast majority of people on this planet really have their worldview, their view of life, fashioned so much through their religion. And of course, if we look at religions, we find often disparate and even seemingly opposing views about this thing called life. For example, if we look at the more fundamental religious view, one that pervades several religions, we tend to see life as a struggle between opposing forces like good and evil or God and Satan. And then we have the hope and the promise that if one succeeds in resisting the appeal of evil and being loyal to, let's say, the laws or the commandments of God, then life offers an eternal reward in a bliss-filled eternity. Now, in this worldview, earthly life is just one part of a bigger life. It's even a testing or proving ground for a bigger, less encumbered, freer world beyond this one. So that view really, again, puts its focus on this world, but also beyond. Then I shift, still in the context of religions, to a more Christian, or pure Christian, I should say, or Christ-based view of life that sees our time here on earth mainly as an opportunity to love. Just to love God, love our neighbor, and love ourselves. Now, you know, myself would say that covers about every base. I think we've got everybody covered there. But beyond the Christian view of life, we have many other religions. For example, the Buddhist perspective, which seems to see life as an invitation to inner peace and outer harmony, which for them is very achievable, even in the midst of other choices which could bring about inner disharmony or interrelational complexity. So I want to make one final stop on our tour of views about life, and then we'll move strongly into looking at life through the eyes of the soul. And this view, this final stop, is looking at the various philosophical views of life, all the way from Descartes' quote, "I think, therefore I am," to the mid-20th century existentialist view of, quote, "life is absurd," unquote. And you know, while we're here, I just have to tell you this story. In the early to mid-1960s, I was living in Europe studying theology, And it was at that point when existentialism, especially European existentialism, which I guess, since it was in Europe, it would make sense that it would be called that, was still at its nadir or at its peak. And I remember reading Immanuel Kant and Albert Camus in my own search, my own exploration of life's meaning. And it was a time in my life when pretty much the bottom had fallen out of my personal philosophy or sense of what life was about. And I really was looking for some kind of meaning. And so I remember concluding, after reading Kant, Camus, the existentialist, along with them, that, you know, life was indeed absurd, and that it really had no inherent meaning at all, at least for me. So there I was seeing no difference between life and death, and I was contemplating not living, when I came upon what at that time was a modern Christian existentialism. And of course I was studying Christian theology, so it just seemed to jump right out of that plate onto my lap. And it stated simply something like this: well, since life is both absurd and without meaning, and there's really nowhere to go with that, how about each one of us just inventing what meaning we wanted to have? Just decide what meaning we wanted to have and just live that meaning as though it were real, even though we're clear that it's totally unreal. And by the way, we Christians would offer for your consideration the theme of love. So how about living for love? And see how that feels. Well, that was the Christian existentialist invitation at the time, and it wasn't just Christian. There were other approaches that were offering other versions of that. And it was at that point that I really took that seriously. I took it into my heart, not just into my mind. And I decided that, you know, sitting there perched on the precipice of meaning and no meaning, existence and non-existence, that since I was here, I was going to give life a shot. I was going to, even if it was pretending, and it didn't feel like it to me, it felt like deep down in my own soul, that word love spoke to me. And so I grabbed onto it, I grasped it, and I said, okay, let me just take that in and let it take whatever form it wants to take, and I'll ride that horse as far as it'll go. And those of you who know me to this day know that that's had a meaningful place in my life. So we could go on and on looking for other cosmologies or views of life, and my sense is that we would uncover thousands of them. I've just given a brief view of some. And I think the bottom line truth in and through any investigation of this sort would be whatever conclusions we come up with about life pretty much depend on what set of eyes we're looking at life through. So, I'd like to offer you my viewpoint of this mysterious thing called life as I look at it through the eyes of our soul. As many of you know, I've pretty well specialized these past years in soulfulness. In a sense, the soul of life has very much taken me over and absorbed me into itself, or infused itself into me, whichever description you prefer. And in so many ways, I feel like my personal identity has taken a giant shift over these past years, and I very much feel like I truly, at the core of me, am the soul of life. And I would venture to say that each and every one of us here is that as well, our experience of it perhaps shifting a little bit. As such, I feel like I've been permitted to see life, to see people, to see circumstances, or to see even life itself, soulfully, or, if you will, through the eyes of the soul. So, as I get ready to share with you my own soulful witness of this thing called life, I'd want to emphasize up front two things. First, that any one person's soulful experience may and probably will differ from that of another. And so, what that means is what I'm saying here is what I'm about to describe from my sense of the soulful perspective, and it may not coincide exactly with your own soulful view. And if that's the case, you know by now the perfect solution to that scenario, and that is, while listening to my vision, listen even more attentively to your own, because your soulful truth will undoubtedly serve you better than mine. And the second, let's just recall for a second what the soul is. The soul to me is that center of wisdom that's accessible to each and every one of us at the core of our being. It's the very truth of life, as that truth speaks its inspiring message from that place of pure essence that is your heart and mine. It's what we sometimes call our God self, echoing the vibrations of life's intelligent design within the hearing of our innermost consciousness. The soul also to me is the radiant voice of life itself, the voice that can be heard by those who attune their own heart vibrations to its resonance. And it's the purest vision of life. And it speaks daily to anybody who chooses to listen, and that would include us here and now. With those thoughts about soul tickling the inner fabric of our being, I'd like to share with you two ways that the soul is speaking to me in this moment, or speaking to all of us in this moment about life. Two views of life through the eyes of the soul. The first is this: life is a mystery. It's a wondrous, inexplicable, beyond comprehension mystery, an indescribably remarkable, amazing mystery. And in its mystery, life holds millions, make that billions, perhaps trillions, of elements of surprise, of unknown and maybe even unknowable possibilities, and of unexpected treasure. Life, in its mystery, is a literal warehouse of limitless wonders, of countless creations in the making, of unpredictable yet miraculous outcomes. You know, many of us are so busy defining and categorizing the aspects of life that we've already come to understand, and sometimes we even busy ourselves with making laws and rules out of the limited grasp of life that we know. And while this approach is helpful in some ways, simultaneously, while we're doing it, we're taking our attention away from the great mystery of life. And more importantly, we're taking our attention away from what surprise that mystery might be creating for us in that very moment. What a privilege it is to live in this unknowable mystery of life, to be swept along the wave of life by mystery's unbounded intelligence. What a joyous opportunity it is to let go into life's outstretched arms, trusting its wise embrace, just as a very young child does as he or she leaps off the side of a swimming pool into the loving and waiting arms of its parent. What a way to live life, a life that functions and creates beyond the grasp of cognitive knowledge, a life that's so much vaster, grander, greater than any one of us, or all of us together even, could explain. A life that, I think, deserves our letting go into it, deserves our partnership. There was a 16th century mystic by the name of Fra Angelico who wrote this following quote in the year 1513. In fact, probably in 1513 when he wrote it, it wasn't a quote, it was just what he wrote. But now, these days, it's a quote. It goes like this: life is so generous a giver, but we, judging its gifts by their covering, cast them away as ugly or heavy or hard. Remove the covering, and you will find beneath it a living splendor, woven in love, by wisdom, with power. Welcome it, grasp it, and you touch the angel's hand that brought it to you. Isn't that a remarkable visionary perspective of life? Life is, in its mystery, so grand. And this first vision of the soul, that life is an amazing mystery, isn't just a piece of information, it's an invitation to you and to me, to each one of us, an invitation to embrace it, to let go into its wise guidance, to unify our whole being with its creative possibility and spark, to become it. That's right, literally, to become the mystery of life. And in this regard, I want to call our memories to the famous quote of Hafiz, the well-known Muslim mystic, who wrote this: "Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about." Well, in this context, if it's okay with you, I'd like to rewrite his words just a bit as a way of inviting us to life's limitless mystery. And here's my rewrite. Out beyond the seeming knowing of the human mind, there is a field of unlimited mystery and possibility. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, when the soul contemplates that infinity, when the soul wraps itself around that truth, the world is too full to talk about. And those are some thoughts about the first of my twofold vision through the eyes of the soul about life as a mystery. The second view of the soul is this: you are not separate from life itself. In fact, you are life itself. I'd like to repeat that, if I may. You are not separate from life itself. In fact, you are life itself. I know it's really hard for many of us to lift our perception far enough outside of the box of our learned self-concept to grasp this, what I feel like calling bigger-than-life truth that I've just stated. And if really you were raised at all like I was, chances are that you learned fairly strongly that your identity is that of a human being. And we really refer to ourselves as, we came here to Earth to have this human experience. And implied in that term, human being, is a sense, for most of us, of being separate from the much bigger life. Yes, we learn that life is out there, just like God is out there, and like your friend is out there, and the piece of furniture you're sitting on is out there, and everything is out there. And if your upbringing, again, was anything like mine, one of your purposes in living was somehow to find that connection with God, with life, and make that connection and keep that connection with the infinite. Well, I'd like to share with you another quote. I'm just full of quotes here today. This one by really a man that I've come to admire enormously. He's a truly esteemed modern quantum physicist, a philosopher, a futurist, by the name of Irvin Laszlo. And I think Irvin lives these days in Italy, in Tuscany, I do believe, and writes books and talks worldwide. He's an amazing human being. And this quote that I'm about to say to you is from his fairly recent book called Science and the Akashic Field, An Integral Theory of Everything. Here's the quote: "Our separateness is an illusion. We are interconnected parts of the whole. We are a pond with movement and memory. Our reality is greater and larger than you and me, and all the vessels that sail the waters and all the waters on which they sail." That's amazing to me. Our separateness is an illusion. We are interconnected parts of the whole. And my words are, we are the whole. We are life. And while we're in the quote routine, I'd like to share with you one other, and I think this is my final quote. And this one's by someone whom some of you may know personally, a man by the name of John Hagelin, who lives in Fairfield, Iowa. And John, of course, ran for president representing the Natural Law Party during the last few presidential elections, but he's equally known for his scientific prowess. And John wrote this: "I discovered for myself that human intelligence, at its core foundation, is universal intelligence. And at that level, you and I and everyone and everything in the universe are one." That's the end of the quote. That is to say, we are life itself. You and I may look separate from one another or different from the trees and the sky, but the bigger truth is that each one of us, you, I, each one of us is, in addition to the illusory human form that we appear to occupy and do, each one of us is intimately connected to the very life that's everywhere. Each one of us is a rich partner with that life. We're intrinsically interwoven with the very life that's anywhere, everywhere, and seemingly nowhere. So, go with me now, if you will, and imagine yourself, not primarily as your human self. Just let that identity kind of find its own place all by itself for a minute. Or not as a physical body or as a cognitive mind or as a human identity. But picture yourself, as I think you're doing right now, as life itself. That's right, be that big. Be as big as life. Forget for the moment any concept of separation and just let go into the vastness and the allness of life. And sure enough, see what happens. As you are life, notice what your view is. Notice how you're seeing everything around you, not through regular human eyes, but through the unlimited, all-knowing, all-loving, all-embracing, all-encompassing eyes of life. What is that like? What does the universe look like? Or the multiple universes? Or this itsy-bitsy little Earth itself? Or the plants and the animals on the earth? What do you look like? What do I look like? What do we all look like? Far away from the narrower perspectives of our human world, what grander insights now that you're life, what grander insights flow into your mind from the great wisdom of life? What fuller knowing can you access from this special perch over the human forest of life? I want to thank you for opening yourself to the experience of these two perspectives about life seen through the eyes of the soul. In the depths of my own inner consciousness, I personally have come to know the larger truth of these visionary perspectives of life. In fact, I've often thought, you know, how simple life is when we view it and experience it from this soulful vision, this soulful center. In fact, my deepest intuition is this, that one, if we embrace the limitless mystery of life, and two, actually invite ourselves to find our true identity in that larger life, in doing that, we have found the literal secret to living on earth. And when we bring that soulful vision into our human experience and then fully let go into it, we stop feeling so small. We let go of feelings of shame and guilt and victimness. They just leave automatically. We find the road to a daily celebration of just what is. And we start seeing the bigger picture of anything and everything, whether it's what's happening in our own lives or in the lives of others or in the world as a whole. So, in conclusion, I'd like to invite each of us anew and join me in this invitation only in the way and to the degree that reflects your own truth, to invite you to these two soulful approaches of life. once again. First, remind yourself that life is an utter mystery, ungraspable, incomprehensible, and absolutely almighty. Ask yourself, how ready am I to let go into that mystery? Without my historical need for feeling safe or that illusory sense of danger. And invite the infinite intelligence that lies, strangely to most of us, hidden within this mysterious phenomenon called life. Invite that infinite intelligence to lead your life for you, with you, in you, through you. Or perhaps invite it to fill your mind with its wisdom. Or invite it to move you through the unknown spaces of perhaps nowhereness into a deeper comfort with unknowingness, with mystery. Or perhaps invite it just to lift you fully into its complete embrace and power. And while you're in the midst of that experience, I want to remind you about the second of the soul's visions about life. You are not separate from life itself. In fact, you are life itself. In this regard, in a fresh way, I want to invite you and me to rejoin your higher self, the higher self that you already are, you know, the self that is all of life, the self that knows who you really are and knows that you're everything, the self that lives full-time above the human forest anyway. And in joining that higher self, be the life that you are. Invite that experience to be present in exactly the way that's perfect for you right now and tomorrow and the next day. And even if it leaves your awareness tomorrow or the next day, invite it to return at that moment, precisely that moment that's perfect for you. Finally, for just this last moment or two of our time together as I'm talking, sit in the quiet. Tune me out if you prefer, and just be with your own inner experience. Be with life's amazing mystery. Then be with life itself, and be life itself, and just sit in the deep knowing of this truth, the truth that you and life are one and the same. And let the truth of this soulful knowing fill your consciousness, your awareness. Let its grand vision wash away any feelings of smallness within you. Allow its deeply sensitive wisdom to remind you of the utter divinity that courses through your veins and moves through your body. Permit the love that is the very essence of life to lodge anew in the deepest spaces of your soul, reminding you now and daily and tomorrow how beautiful you are, how special you are, how great you are, because you are life itself. Yes, you're just as mysterious as life, just as gigantic, just as loving, just as wondrous, and just as precious. And that's the truth as I see it through the eyes of soul. Your soul, my soul, our soul, the soul. Thank you so very, very much. What a very, to me, special, special time this has been.